So the reading is John 14, 16 to 18. And it says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
Thank you. Thanks, Sue. From the resurrection to Pentecost, the disciples were being prepared for their coming role in God's salvation process in this world. Up to this point, up to the resurrection, Jesus had done his work through the cross and then through him being raised from the dead. Sin had been atoned for, death had been defeated. Jesus had done his work. Now it was the disciples. It was about to become the era of the church, and what would make that possible was the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus prepared them for the first 40 days and then told them, wait, do not begin this great commission. Do not start until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And 10 days later on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and empowered them to do their part in sharing this, witnessing to God's creative work. So this Pentecost season, we are preparing ourselves. I believe God is leading us deeper into understanding our relationship with the Holy Spirit, our role, and the importance of his place in our lives. Actually, I believe that's what God has been doing to us all year from the very beginning, taking us away from some just the practice, the religion, but getting into understanding a deeper, impactful relationship with God. So we're talking now, this time, about the Holy Spirit as we get to Pentecost. Understanding who the Holy Spirit is as so much more than some kind of historical, dramatic, uncomfortably out of control, astoundingly powerful celebrity of a spiritual nature. But the Holy Spirit is being so much more than that. We've been looking at who the Holy Spirit is, how and where he operates, his role, and our involvement in all of that. And what have we discovered so far? We've recognized that the Holy Spirit is the permanent gift to all of God's people. He is what unites brothers and sisters in Christ across the centuries, across the continents, from the moment that the Holy Spirit came in that first Pentecost to the present day, across the church. What makes and demonstrates our membership of the church is the Holy Spirit within us. We recognize that his presence with us is a constant source of power, not like a battery pack. Plug the connections in and bang, quick zap, and you get a boost of energy and off we go. Or do the dramatic things that it would be lovely at times to think we might do. But instead, the Holy Spirit, as the power of Almighty God in the person, the third person of the Trinity within us, working within us and working for God's glory. And then last week, we recognized the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit who testifies to the truth of who Jesus is. He constantly glorifies Jesus, points to Jesus, to the saving work of Jesus on the cross, the the truth, the brokenness of humanity that only Jesus can transform. The truth that he testifies to. And then, of course, also last week, we recognized the remarkable and uncomfortable words of Jesus to his disciples as he told them that it would be to their advantage that he went and left them so that the Holy Spirit could come and be with them. The implication, it would be better for them to have the Holy Spirit within them than Jesus' presence physically beside them. Today, we're going to see why. What does it mean for us? First, just a little point. Do you know that work of the Holy Spirit, the role to glorify, to constantly point to Jesus, is the same role he performs in us. He constantly reminds us of the truth of Jesus and of what he has done in us, and speaks then through us to other people. That's the witnessing role of the church. It's why we are here. Which causes me to say something that you might find uncomfortable. I am very aware that so many Christians struggle to praise God, struggle to declare Jesus' Lordship, struggle to worship. So many find it incredibly difficult to do so. Which is interesting because the Holy Spirit is within us. That's his role. Which causes me to ask the question, what does that say about how much of a voice we give to the Holy Spirit in our lives? What does that say about how active he is and we've allowed him to be, the Spirit who constantly testifies to Jesus? If we're going to testify for Jesus, we need the Spirit of God filling us, empowering us, giving us the words. Just think about that as we go on and reflect on who he is. So today, the words that were read to us, that very first sentence, spoke of the Holy Spirit as the helper. In the version that Sue read to us. If you read the old version of the NIV, the Bible I've had since 1984, then it says the counselor. If you read the modern version of the NIV, it says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. And in other versions, we read comforter. Counselor, advocate, comforter, or helper. All different interpretations, but of the same word, and the same Greek word is the word parakletos. Parakletos, which is why you sometimes hear people praying for the paraclete, talking about the paraclete coming. That word occurs just five times in the whole of the Bible, all in the words written by John. Four of them occur in John's Gospel, all in the same chapters that we've been looking at over the last few weeks, from chapters 13, 14 through to 16. It's where Jesus is in the upper room. It's what we would think of as Maundy Thursday. He is about to be arrested and tried and crucified. And Jesus is teaching the disciples about what is to come. He's telling the disciples of the one who will come in his place, the Holy Spirit. And we see four times this word in that place, parakletos. The other occasion that we find it is in a letter that John wrote. 1 John. And now he labels Jesus. He labels Jesus as the paraclete, as one who came to help, describing him as a mediator who pleads with the Father on behalf of believers. He's describing Jesus as a paraclete. So when Jesus himself describes the Holy Spirit is going to come as another, do you remember that was the first line that Sue read to us? And he will give you another advocate, counselor, helper, comforter, paraclete, another. He was effectively saying someone else of the same kind, akin to Jesus' personal substitute. No wonder when Jesus said to them, it is to your advantage that I go and the Holy Spirit comes to you. No wonder he was telling them this, that they would have this comforter, this counselor within them thereafter. I can imagine they would be so devastated to not have Jesus, but Jesus wasn't with them constantly. But there would have been times I can imagine them coming and saying, where's Jesus? Is he up mountain praying to Father again? We've got people here need healing. There's a lad with broken leg. He needs to come down. We need him. And he wouldn't be present physically all the time. Jesus is offering something amazing, the Holy Spirit within us constantly. So let's have a look at each of these terms briefly. And each time I'm going to pause at the end and pray this context into our lives, asking the question, Lord, have we allowed you to be this? So let's begin with advocate. The term advocate. All aspects of what a paraclete is. The advocate would come within someone to speak, to mediate, to plead. He does this on behalf of God's people. My goodness, today, don't we need an advocate speaking on our behalf against the constant voices of accusation and condemnation that you tell me you so often feel? We all feel at times pulled down. I'm reminded of the term given to our spiritual enemy, the accuser. It's a common biblical title attributed to Satan. The deceptive serpent in the Garden of Eden, whose lies tricked Adam and Eve and persist today. And the accuser constantly attacks God's people. And he lies, just like the original lie that infected the people. And he, in the process, chips away at us, at our confidence in who God is and what he has done with us. And he undermines it. But as we grow familiar, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit as our advocate, that still quiet voice, we begin to be able to discern the counterfeits, the lies, the deceptions spoken over us by the accuser. And so Jesus promises to send an advocate whose presence will unwrap, unwind all that deception that we have poured into and allowed to pour into our lives. That's the role of the advocate. This title comes from the lips of Jesus and is the absolute opposite of the accuser. What the accuser wants to do is to isolate you, to tell you you're not worthy, and therefore to keep you away from God, to keep you away from the church, from believers who can lift you back up again. He wants to get you trying to live life on your own. Why? Because you're not worth it. The Holy Spirit, our advocate, does the opposite. He nudges us. He prods us back in the direction of God and reminds us that God looks at us and says, Jesus is your righteousness. And everywhere we see the Holy Spirit speaking truth as our advocate, he pours the light of Christ back into us until our mind is thinking clearly again. Do you know God doesn't argue against the enemy? Why should he? He's not an equal opponent. It's not like a court scene. Imagine a court scene, you see barristers, and there's a barrister on the plaintiff's side, and there's a barrister here on the prosecuting side, and they throw their arguments, and the cleverest argument often wins. Trump on one side, Stormy Daniels on the other, and it's he said, she said, and they battle it out, and who's going to win, and who will the jury believe? That's not the way God operates. He simply shines the light of the truth, the spirit of truth of who Jesus is and what he's done for you. And he shines that light into your life. And he does so to reveal the pure love of God, the love that drives away, that casts out all fear. Our advocate. So let's just pause and let me pray for you, for us. Actually, I'm going to pray about me, but use these words for yourself. Father God, Lord Jesus, shine your light on the lies that I am tempted to believe today. Search my thoughts. Search my emotions. Show me the accusations that would twist my view of myself and undermine my trust in you and what you've done for me. Father God, right now, I invite your Holy Spirit to speak truth into the enemy's accusations in my life of late. By your love, renew my mind and banish my fear. Amen. That's
Amen.
advocate. That's the advocate. Then another phrase and our interpretation is comforter. Jesus promises, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That was the final sentence in the verses that we had read this morning. And it is the Holy Spirit who is our consistent, daily, experienced presence of God within us, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us. Remember what the accuser wants to do. He wants to isolate you. He wants to persuade you you're not good enough. So he whispers, oh, you really shouldn't have done that. How could you say those things? How could you act that way? Oh, dear. Oh, you are really not worthy to come on Sunday. And it's a communion service. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You better go away and hide. That's what Satan wants to do. What the Holy Spirit says is just the opposite. He invites us to take those weak places in our lives, the bits that we don't like to show to others, that we'd like rather stay hidden, the things we know we've got wrong. And he invites us to expose them to God in prayer. And he comforts us with the love of God's healing purposes and reminds us of who we are because of Jesus, not who we are because of our broken humanity. We need comfort, don't we? My goodness, life is unpredictable. Lorinda and I certainly know that in recent weeks. And sometimes things just pour onto us and desperation suddenly overwhelms us and it can knock us to the ground and we feel battered. Now, sometimes God deals with that in a dramatic way and in a miraculous way. And he just takes us and the situation is resolved and wow. But even when he doesn't, the comforter of God stays with us and helps us negotiate through the challenges that we face. And he gives us perspective as we face all those things. Those who know the presence of the Comforter in the middle of that desperation discover a quiet but mighty truth that his comfort outlasts whatever it is that we're going through. And whether things are worked through quickly or slowly, he helps us make a way through it and negotiate through it. That's the Comforter. So when the Satan wants us to feel alone, isolated, betrayed, he comforts us in reminding us of God's presence in everything. So again, we're going to pause and I'm going to pray. Father God, this morning, I lift up my eyes to the one from whom my help comes. Lord, I offer you my weakness or weaknesses, those aspects of my character that are not good, those relationships which are challenging, the difficult situations that are so painful. And we invite the help of the Comforter, the present and powerful person of the Holy Spirit within us. Comfort us, Lord, with your presence, we ask. Father God, I invite your Holy Spirit to meet me in my trouble. Help us, comfort us, and deliver us as you see fit. Whether my circumstances change or remain, we ask that you would know, we would know your presence in the trials of this day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And finally, that term, counselor. Let me read to you what the ESV says from chapter 14, where this paraclete word is used. But the paraclete, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Do you know most Christians are most comfortable in prayer when they are praying for stuff? We love and feel at ease asking God for stuff. Asking God to heal Bob, to protect Bill, to deliver John and give safe travel for Bertha and whoever the party might be. Christians also come to God asking him to change our situations, to take things away. So we ask him for stuff. We want him to change it. We want him to take the things away. We want the miraculous. But that's not usually how God works. Of course, in Scripture, it's full of examples of the miraculous happening. I was thinking about Daniel in the lion's den rescue. Wow, miraculous. I was thinking of his colleagues, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in a flaming furnace, coming out unsinged, Of course, God does the miraculous. But you know what struck me? In all of those situations, there already existed a remarkable faith and trust in God. But God often uses the circumstances we're in to teach us, to help us to grow, to learn. He molds us. That's the role of a counselor. A counselor, if he was a marriage counselor and two people come, he doesn't take you out of it. Oh, right, nice to meet you. You go and live there, you go and live there. That's not the role of a counselor. The counselor doesn't change your situation or take you out of it, but rather he asks the questions, the difficult questions that help to equip us to work through it. He offers counsel. And Jesus offers healing to his bewildered disciples, not often through miraculous interventions and spectacles, but through pointed questions. So we're the Christians. We want God to be on tap, the kind of wand-waving magician. Click his fingers and bang, it's all resolved. And we ask God for that. We think of God in that way. To work, like, just give us the prescription, Lord. Let me go to the chemist and get the tablets and everything be fine. But God actually wants us to grow. And from the resurrection in the new church witnessing to Christ era, he wants us to be witnesses to Christ sustaining us. He offers healing of a different kind. And he calls this helper, this counselor, one who brings healing by asking the pointed, difficult questions. But he asks those difficult questions to those deep down issues that we would really rather keep hidden. And in the process, brings about a deep down healing. If he didn't do that, we'd just be like babies, wouldn't we? Never learning, never growing, never able to grow resilience, making the same old mistakes. But the counselor helps us to see where those bits of our character need to be adjusted and molded. And he invites us to negotiate and build our trust of God, because that's what faith is. That's the journey. And it often gets to a point where we never understand all that went on and the whys and the wherefores. But you know what? Why should we? You're not God, and I'm not God. How could we understand things that are his domain? But the promise at the end of what I've just read to you is that peace. Peace, not like the world gives, but a peace that passes all understanding. In the letter of Philippians, Paul says that this peace surpasses understanding. And it's accessible when we pray in every situation. So when we're in a circumstance that is horrendous and difficult, to stop and say, Holy Spirit, I need your counsel. I need you to give me peace. Lord, speak to me. We so often treat God as one who answers the click of our fingers. Change this, do this. How much more does God want us to talk to him? The thing God wants to change most in prayer is you. The thing he wants to hear most is you bringing yourself in prayer, not just other people. Not a list of people. He knows all about the people with the broken leg and the people that are bereaved and the people who are going through horrendous situations. It's good that we stand for them, but he really wants you. And when he gets to us and we change, so in us, we bring that testimony of the Holy Spirit working in us, the truth of who Jesus is. And we have much more impact on other people than just telling them, I will pray for you. So let me pause one last time and pray that the God who gives us the Holy Spirit would be a comfort, a counselor within us too. Father God, great counselor, What questions are you asking me today? What part of my story, my identity, are you wanting to mold and address? What do you want to talk to me about this Pentecost season, if only I'm willing? So, Father, we make a bold prayer. We choose to push past the surface requests, the easy things to pray for this morning, other people and their situations, and we pray for those deep down hurts. Lord, wipe the dust off our deep, deepest desires that we keep hidden. Lord, I name maybe one thing before you now. So, Lord, in dealing with these things, we desire a genuine relationship for hope in our lives. Father, we bring our requests for this day to you without reservation. Circumstances prompting anxiety, hopes, whatever they may be, and we invite you to come this day in your peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.